Good morning, Grace Fellowship Church. Okay, I didn't hear anybody say good morning, so good morning, Grace Fellowship Church. Oh, you're alive, you're awake. I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to go ahead and start a service with some worship this morning. But first, we're going to hear from Psalm 50. Here we go. Psalm 57. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake my soul. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Everybody said? Amen. All right, here we go.
Blessing and honor, glory and power, be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days.
And every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Blessing and honor.
Blessing and honor, glory and power, be unto the Ancient of Days. Every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days.
Every tongue,
and every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away.
Every tongue, every tongue.
Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee will bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Ancient of Days.
Let's sing this. Your kingdom shall reign.
Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing to the Ancient of Days. For none can compare to your matchless word. Sing to the Ancient of Days.
And every tongue
in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee will bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days, O Ancient of Days, O Ancient of Days, O Ancient of Days.
God's word is true, amen. In it, we can have trust. In it, we can feel secure. In it, there is healing. In it, there is power. And we need these ancient words.
Holy words, long preserved for our long in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Who let the ancient words impart. words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us
through sacrifice.
Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Oh, ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have gone with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words
are my righteous.
time. Thank you. Father God, we lift you up today because you gave us another day. Amen, 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 amen. We lift up those who are hurting right now. We lift up those who are in turmoil right now. We lift up those who have lost somebody. Give us another day. Help us to be thankful for that day, Father God. As the sun crosses the horizon, shines light on a new day, I pray, Lord, that so it could be for the rest of our lives, for our personal position where we stand in today. Shine your light. Give us your glory. Heal where we need to be healed. Comfort. We trust you. We love you. And we are honored to be here today in your presence with these believers, with each other. And together with one voice, we say, Amen. Amen.
At this time, don't sit down. The kids are dismissed. You can stampede your way out the back door to your classroom, and then everybody else, go ahead and greet someone. Ministry Director here at Grace. If you are new or visiting today or for the last couple of weeks and you haven't filled out a Connect card, please do so. It just gives us an opportunity to meet with you or connect outside of a Sunday morning. So if you fill out that card, you can take it when you leave today to the left. We have a little welcome table right there, and we have a little gift for you. So feel free to fill that out. I've got to adjust my kid. Hold on. Okay. Moving on. This month, actually, is Pastor Appreciation Month. So there's some notes in your bulletin if you feel led to notice that. Yes, Pastor Mark is not here. He has been in Israel with a group of them. We've got lots of text messages and email and questions. They are all safe. They had left Israel just a few days before the bombings happened, so they're all fine. Charles, welcome home. Glad to see you. Mark and Martha are going to be in Athens and Corinth in the next couple days, and then they fly home on Friday. So rest assured, everyone, and thanks so much for all your care. And they really felt your love and prayers all the way on the other part of the world. So Primetimers is having their luncheon October 14th at 11 a.m. We've announced this the last couple of weeks. If you'd like to sign up for it, you can see Georgia on the way out to the right of the doors. She's there, and you can sign up for your Primetimers event. You don't want to miss painting your wagon. Yes, I have not seen it yet. I know I said 2 weeks ago I was going to watch it, but I will, I promise. I just haven't gotten to it. So Fall Festival, I've got my little 8-pound baby here. All my kids were never this little, by the way. But it's just so comfortable. I miss it. So if you would like to participate with the Fall Festival, we need candy donations and hot chocolate. And we get I get asked probably 7 times every Sunday morning, where does the candy go? Everybody watch. We also need hot chocolate donations. Don't put those in there. You can put those right in the kitchen. So Fall Festival, like we've been saying, it's one of our biggest outreaches we do, and it is an outreach. 1,000 children come through our carnival in downtown Jackson. We need people to run booths. They're simple. A lot of them have already been created for you. Please consider just a couple hours on Halloween night joining us in downtown Jackson and helping with that part of the event. And there's lots of ways to participate other than that. Dana says we need lots of candies and carnies. So that's what you need. We need candies and carnies to run our carnival. You can see her at the table in the back after church. Also, in a couple weeks, we're going to have our all-church potluck. After church, we're going to invite everybody to bring, if you open your bulletin, there's some instructions in there, and we're going to have it, hopefully weather permitting, on the patio. We're going to have a chili cook-off and just spend some time together after church on the 22nd. So I really encourage you guys all to be there for that. All these things happen because of offering and giving. So many other things are happening. Don't forget to look in your bulletin. There's so many instructions. There's ladies' Bible studying starting, ladies' Bible study starting and on the 17th and next week. There's also prayer meetings happening midweek that you're invited to as well. So check out your bulletin after service or whenever, and let me know in the office if you have any questions about anything. But all this happens because of offering, and I thank you so much for how generously and how often you give to keep the lights on and to have all of these wonderful ministries. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, there is so much, and we are so full. The calendar is so full of things, and I am thankful, Lord. I'm thankful that we have this building, that we are here, that our children are safe in their classrooms with their special teachers who just dedicate so much time and effort into just filling their hearts up to let them know that they are made in your image and they are loved. I'm so thankful for the people in this building, and I just pause and thank you for the safety for our crew who have been in Israel, Lord. And I pause and I pray for those who are in areas of war, not just Israel, but that is the one on our mind just this morning. Would you protect everyone this morning? Would you some way have this help turn their hearts toward you, Lord? Would you protect everyone on their way home? And we're thankful that they will indeed be coming home to us. Thank you for everyone in this building and for our worship team and for Pastor Josh as he's going to come up and give our message to us this morning. Would you put a calmness? We welcome you, Holy Spirit, this morning. In your name, amen.
There we go. Feel free to stay seated during this time because We're going to quiet things down. This is a beautiful hymn entitled In His Time, but the truth is that God is sovereign. God knows the timing of everything. And He takes care of us, and He takes care of His own. It's not a secret that God cares for you, and He loves you. He loves you more than you could possibly ever know. Let's just reflect on that. This time, I'm going to ask you to stand, and as Steve Hauser comes and brings us the reading of the word this morning, may he be blessed.
Good morning, Grace. It's such a blessing to be united in worship, united in our love for Christ. So we're reading in Genesis. I always check because I've been wrong before. There we are. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth. And the waters that were gathered together, He called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the giant sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Thank you. Please be seated.
So in all the years that I have been here, I was hard-pressed to think of a time when we had brought an outside speaker in on a Sunday morning. Often we have our elders teach and our missionaries come and teach and lay pastors in our congregation, but I couldn't think of a time when we had brought someone actually from the outside, who's not technically one of us. But this last June, when my son graduated eighth grade, he was up at Community Christian School, and he had a great class, and I just love and adore all of them. I taught in their PE and art, and the speaker at the eighth grade graduation happened to be Josh Gilliam. Pastor Mark came that night to support Maverick and the other graduates, and as Josh was speaking, I elbowed him, and I was like, this is the guy I was telling you about. I think that Josh could come and speak when you are gone in Israel. And thankfully, it was great. He was funny. He was concise. I loved everything he said, and so did Pastor Mark. So from that moment on, we kind of had prayed about it. And when we really didn't have anybody to teach this week, Pastor Mark reached out to Josh, and they got together, and I am so excited for him to be here. Katie, his wife, and I have a lot in common. It's an interesting thing to parent generationally. We have adult children, and we also have young children, and there's not a lot of us around, so I've really enjoyed getting to know Katie over the years and their kids. I just adore their kids. There's a few of them. You can see them running around this morning along with my kids, so just be welcoming. And Josh, would you just come up? We're just so thankful for you to be here. Would you welcome him?
Yeah, that was super gracious. Can you hear me yet? I think we're good. As we're worshiping, I was thinking about Psalm 122, which I think it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It just seems like a really good Sunday to actually do that. Can we just start off by praying for the peace of Jerusalem, and as it suggests in Psalm 122? Yeah, please join me. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you so much that our team was able to get out. But bigger than that, Lord, we take this moment in time to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, we know there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and all that, but we look forward to the day and we pray into it where you come riding in the clouds and bring peace. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, thank you, Sarah. She said, my name's Josh Gilliam. I'm married to the lovely lady over there, my beautiful bride, Katie. And we have seven awesome daughters. Our oldest is in Grand Canyon University, and our one after that, playing hooky. And then we got a smattering here that were old enough to not go to kids' church. And we have two little boys, which are strong in all the bedtime stories, and they're in the nursery as well, and then one on the way. Not a boy necessarily, but we'll see what happens. I'm also joined today by Greg and Irene McClintock, Katie's parents. Greg is a retired Baptist pastor and judge before that in Illinois that happened to be here today. And I think there's a small like heckling section as well from just our Bible study. So Shad, thanks for coming. Ryan, good to see you. I'm probably better known around here for certain is John Gilliam's brother, or Coach G. Do you guys know Coach G from Argonaut basketball or Jackson Middle School? Yeah, so me and John grew up, not here as it was already been pointed out, but we grew up in a little tiny town in Humboldt Trinity County line called Willow Creek. We went to Hoopah Indian Reservation and kind of did the whole, you know, country thing back there. I ended up going to the military academy at West Point in 2000, graduated in 2000. Infantry officer, that was right about the time that 9/11, you know, was happening. A year later, I found myself serving with the 82nd Airborne Division and 1st Ranger Battalion in places like Iraq and Afghanistan and so on and so forth. Ended up filling the call to the Army chaplaincy. And so in 2005, me and Katie, we got out of the military, went to seminary, got ordained in the Evangelical Church Alliance. They're not heretical, I promise. And got back in the Army as a chaplain. And then for the next 15 years, served pastoring military chapels and communities. Me and John had just a funny conversation I want to kind of highlight to us. So I was having a conversation, and when we moved back here, so what we did is we basically drew a 10-mile radius around Pine Grove, which they're in Pine Grove, and said, we're going to live back there and do life with John and Jen, just really get involved in the local community. And John was telling me a couple years ago that he was going to the gun dinner. Do you guys know what the gun dinner is? It was like a peace officer dinner. I don't think it was here. I don't know. It might have been here. I don't know. But he was like, yeah, they raffle off guns. I think it's a thing to raise support for peace officers. I was like, awesome. I want to come. John was like, whoa. Bro, in order to come to the gun dinner, you got to be a local. I'm like, I'm a local? Like, I bought property up in Volcano. What do you got to do to be a local around here? He's like, hard to say. He's like, it's probably about 10 years. Who's lived in Amador County for 10 years? Bunch of locals. And so I was telling my neighbor this. I was like, my brother said, you got to live here for 10 years to be a local. And he's like, 10 years? He's like, you got to graduate high school to be a local. And so he told me he got here in middle school. It wasn't until he like graduated high school that he like really felt like he was a local. Who's graduated high school in Amador County? Holy smokes. Okay, I see what I'm up against. Well, I was having lunch with Pastor Mark and I first met him, and I said, so how long have you lived here? And he's like, man, I was born here. Who was born here? All right. No joke. Okay, you guys are like 16 over there, so that's a little bit. So I'm like, oh, so you're like a local. You're a real local. And he's like, well, depends on who you ask. He's like, in many circles around here, your parents need to be born here, you know, to be a local. So whose parents were born here? All right. We got one over here. Who else? On this side. All right. Yeah, awesome. So, hey, I just want to, like, confess up front that, like, I didn't go to high school here. I wasn't born here, but I got here just as quick as I could, all right? In all seriousness, me and Katie have chosen to live in Amador County because we think it represents kind of our values, our people. We're not planning to leave. And so it was truly an honor to get invited to talk because I'm not a local to this county or this church. And so thank you for extending me the trust and the graciousness, all the staff, and making sure that, you know, the computers plug in and et cetera, et cetera. So thank you. Why don't we begin with a word of prayer? Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever struggled with with how to relate to God? You know, God's so many different things, isn't he? Like, in one sense, God is our brother and our friend and our comforter and our bridegroom, even our lover. You know, we want to, you know, grab our latte and cuddle up with Jesus, and we got our nicknames, our terms of endearment, and it's good, and that's awesome. That's Christianity. I'm not speaking against it. But on the other side of the spectrum, there's God who is king and judge and creator. And he's the guy that's going to, you know, part the sky and come in with the white horse, with the sword in his hand, with the robe that's stained with the blood of his enemies. It's decidedly not as cuddly, is it? Have you ever struggled with the tension between how do I relate to Jesus as lover of my soul, who's also the righteous king of the universe, and you're afraid I'm going to step on this, aren't you, and like come tumbling down, and it's going to be a major event, and there's not an ambulance on site. I get it.
I'm working into the sermon somehow.
Combat role. Have you ever struggled with that tension? I know I have. I have good news and bad news. The bad news is that our passage today is only going to exacerbate that tension in our hearts. Normally a preacher wants to like set up a good story with some tension and then relieve it with scripture. But as I dug into it, I'm like, it actually just highlights the tension that's there between Jesus, lover of my soul, and the God who breathed the stars. But there's good news. The good news is we get to meditate together on one of the central, I would argue, central mysteries of the universe, and it's this. Is that the God who created us for love created everything else? I need to find my clicker. I want to say that again. The God who created us for love created everything else. If you have your Bibles, please open to Genesis 1:1. I thought the beginning was a very good place to start. Pastor Mark actually just said, hey, Josh, bring whatever's on your heart. And this was kind of something that we were meditating on in our Bible study. And so you get to hear it today. Genesis 1:1. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. And because these glasses don't allow me to really see stuff and I need to see the screen, I'm mostly going to be using the screen up here, but it will be denoted if I'm using a different translation than that. Hey, before we go here, I would say that Genesis 1 has been the battleground for just a myriad of ideologies over the last 100 years. And so people have used these verses as weapons to try to support their ideologies of biblical literalism or literary criticism or evolution or humanism or feminism, and the list goes on and on. And so this is usually where a pastor says, time doesn't permit me to explore the depths of these scriptures. But really, I'm going to tell you, wisdom doesn't permit me to go any further than what I feel is the subject of the very passage. And what's the subject of the passage? Yeah. In the beginning, I mean, I'm a little rusty on my like subjects and nouns and predicates and whatnot, but I think that God is the actual subject of that passage. Amen? So let's focus on God. In the beginning, God. In the Hebrew, it's Genesis Elohim. Genesis being for in the beginning, and Elohim being the most common word for God in the Old Testament Hebrew. Interestingly, the Elohim, though, is a plural noun. The Jews have always understood it as singular. I was actually in Pastor Mark's office getting ready, and I saw on his wall the Greek, or actually it would be the Hebrew, forgive me, I think it was actually the Greek Jesus saying it, but that's a whole other story, of the Shema, of Deuteronomy 6:4, right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. So the confession that God is one is central to the Christian faith, and certainly central to the Hebrew faith. And even though that's a plural noun, the Hebrews have always understood it to be singular. But I think God in his sneakiness and his cleverness is giving us a hint into one of the central mysteries of Christianity. And it's this, that God has forever existed. Well, let's hold that thought. If you let me go back a little bit. So in the beginning, God, what did it look like before that verse? What do you think? This is a small enough group. I notice that nobody's sitting up here, kind of out of the range of fire. This isn't a Baptist church, is it? But if we were to go back in the beginning, God, what did it look like before this verse? It was void. It was black. Okay, totally. It was empty. What was it like? What was God like? God was light. Yeah. He was alone except for himself. Was he lonely? Why was God not lonely? Yeah, it was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What were they doing? We believe that God existed eternally, right? So what were they doing eternally before creation? They're planning, they're scheming. You know, there's a lot of detail in the design of the earth. Absolutely. Thank you. What were they doing? Fellowshipping. Yeah. One of the central ideas that I want to highlight to us is that God has forever been in a relationship of love with himself. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And when we say that God is love, we're really just saying that God has forever been loving God the Son, loving the Father, God the Father loving the Son, God the Holy Spirit loving both of them in this exchange of love. Now, I'm not a Roman Catholic, but the Roman Catholics have revelation on this that we Protestants need to see. This is from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Let's read this. It says, St. John, this verse we just looked at, St. John affirms that God is love. God's very being is love. By sending his only Son in the spirit of love in the fullness of time, God has revealed his innermost secret. God himself is an eternal exchange of love. An eternal exchange of love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he has destined us to share in this love. Isn't that cool? Can I get an amen? Amen? Thank you. Going back to our passage, just skipping to the very end for a second. What else does it mean when we say that we are created in God's image, other than we were created with the capacity to give and exchange love in the same way that God gives and exchanges love? What else could it possibly mean? Yeah. Okay, yeah, it could be that there were three parts, like God is three parts, although we start to get into some, kind of Trinitarian heresy if we press that analogy too far. But you're right. I mean, some people could say it could mean that we could, like, create like God, like we create people, but animals can create. You know, some people would say that we certainly can't, like, create the universe like God created. So what could it mean other than we have the capacity, really? This is how the church has understood it for a couple millenniums, to give, to love God, and to participate in the love God has for himself by being created with the capacity to do just that. I get super excited about this idea. And this week I got a chance to kind of reflect on it across Scripture. Consider this verse, John 17:24. Father, I desire, this is the high priestly prayer as Jesus pouring his heart out to the Father right before he goes and is crucified. I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you love me before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. A little peek into what was going on before our verse in Genesis 1:1a. Oh, righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you and I know that you have sent me and made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known to them that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Do you see, friends, we were created and destined, predestined, elected to be invited into the love that God has had within himself forever. That is super cool. I was I've meditated on this verse for many years and prayed it. We were part of the International House of Prayer for a year, kind of up in Kansas City. Interesting experience. And did a lot of praying about this. But it was all in the context of really praying that God would give me a greater understanding of his love for me. But what if Paul is also, through the Holy Spirit, inviting us to pray that we would have a greater understanding of God's love for God that we're invited into? Something to think about. God created us to share in the relationship that he has had with himself forever. So when we say that Jesus is our friend and our brother and our comforter and our companion and our bridegroom and the lover of our soul, kind of like the whole paradigm that we get in the Song of Solomon, it's true. I mean, it's exciting. It's honestly, it's mind-blowing. But there's also another side to this, right, that we see in Genesis 1. That in the beginning, God created. The word created is the Hebrew word bara. It means to create something out of nothing. We probably, in the Latin, it would be like ex nihilo, from out of nothing something. This verb is never applied to people. It's only applied to God. Bara. God barad it. Stuff sprang to action. In the beginning, God... I was looking at the wrong slide here. I apologize. You guys, what is he talking about? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is really just shorthand in Hebrew to say God created everything. The earth was without form and void. Let me first say this word was. People have used this, atheists, you know, to say, hey, it says right here that there was something that existed before God started to create, that there was like the soup of matter, and then God finally kind of, after his plans were done, you know, the design was finished, then he like went into phase two of actually, you know, creating things. It's not what the verse says. The was refers to the time that God was creating, not to this previous time where there was stuff. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. You know, it's tempting to kind of press the science into this. The Bible's giving us, it's not violating science, but it's not really trying to make a scientific statement here. I think Eugene Peterson in The Message says it really good. He translates it this way. The earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, and inky blackness. Eugene Peterson highlights really what the commentaries would support is that the writer, through the Holy Spirit, is stretching for language to try to say there was nothing here. That God from nothing created everything. And that's why Peterson lays the emphasis on these, the nothingness, the bottomless, the emptiness, the blackness. There's nothing here until God spoke it into being. Verse 3, and then God said, let there be light. And there was light. I don't know if anybody picked up on this, but God says, let there be light in verse 1, or not verse 1, day 1. But what does he create on day 4? Anybody? He creates the sun, yeah, and the moon and the stars. And we're like, what in the world? So where's the light coming from? And this is not really, you know, necessarily part of the message, but I can't avoid it because it's just like right here staring at us. There's a lot of theories over the years. Google it or ChatGPT it. But if I can just say what's likely going on here is God, who created everything, probably created a temporary light to kind of shed light on days 1 through 3. Whether that could have been like his Shekinah glory, he allowed to like break in, you know, in that form. He didn't like create that. That had been there before. But maybe he made it visible or something to see. But probably he just created a temporary light. Scripture doesn't tell us. You know, this is where, if you guys are wondering about like folks to say, hey, the earth is you know, been here for, you know, 65 billion years. I don't even look up what the new number is. But really, they're referencing this idea that, hey, because there wasn't a sun, so there can't be rotation around the sun until day four, then those days are longer. You probably heard that idea before, but this is the idea behind it. Whereas I think it's probably better to believe, although you can, Christians of all different types that value the Bible equally, that love Jesus equally, can disagree here. But I think it's probably better if we're trying to defend God's word to say, no, God did create a light. It was temporary light, and the earth orbited around it for the first 3 days. I don't know, though. I'm gonna let Pastor Mark sort the rest of that out. There's a big ol'. He's going to hate me. So for God commanded light to shine out of the darkness. I think it's better for us just to land where the Apostle Paul lands. So this is in 2 Corinthians. He simply says, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness. So the need to like figure out how that worked is really us going beyond what Scripture gives us. It's super interesting. It's the kind of thing you want to like, you know, talk about over Mel's, you know, over like a extra crispy hash browns, but it really isn't super germane to Christianity. All right, I want to skip to verse 16, if you allow me for a second. God made the two lights, forgive me my typo, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. I love how he just says, and the stars. It's the most understated phrase in the entire Bible. And the stars. First observation on that is that the stars are an afterthought relative to what he first created the earth in us, who he created us for love to inhabit the earth. This is actually the biggest argument against aliens in my mind. I mean, could there be aliens? I mean, yeah, I guess so. But God created us first, and everything else was just kind of periphery to the creation of earth and to us who he would put on it to give and exchange love. Make sense? But let's talk about this and the stars. Because this gets into science that I have no business talking about, but it's crazy. So the universe, according to ChatGPT, because everything I know now is based on ChatGPT, is 46 billion light years. Like we can see light from 46 billion light years away. It's also expanding, and that's a whole nother idea, right? You know, it's expanding. You know, some say that God spoke and his creative word, his bara, went forward and it continues to go forth creating. Again, I don't know, but it's kind of a cool idea. But 46 billion light years, we can see light. So light year is 5.88 trillion miles. So 46.5 times, you know, 46.5 billion times 5.88 trillion is a lot of zeros. If you guys can get back to me on that number, I'd appreciate it by the end of the message. But I'm just talking about, let's just remember here, I'm just talking about the radius. So if we do the whole diameter of the known universe, we're talking about 93 billion light years in length. It's crazy. We can't even get our mind around these numbers. But I'd like to talk to us about the mass, not just the size. Lou Giglio has this really, I think, pretty clever like illustration about the Earth being the size of a golf ball. So I'm just totally going to steal it from him, and I want to give it to us today. This is so good, and so humor me if you would. I did bring a golf ball. So Giglio says, you know, if Earth was the size of a golf ball. But before we go there, let me just hold it up so you can kind of get a picture of this. So this is the Earth. Take a minute to find where you are, Amador County. Then if you can zero in to us right now. So once you see it, just kind of nod that you're tracking with me. Oh, and turn. Okay, you're right. Yeah. Okay, but got themselves good. So if Earth was the size of a golf ball, the sun would be 15 foot in diameter. Now, I put a tape measure in, but I think my pace count from like my military days is all right. So seven steps. So right here in this chair. So right here to this one right here. That's 15 foot. And so here's our golf ball. I don't know if you all can see that. Might need a thing, but so this is the diameter of the sun. This is the earth. And you're somewhere on it. It's just the star, the sun is crazy big. And this is what the God who created us for love, to give and exchange love, breathed this thing into existence. You could actually fit 960,000 Earths inside the sun. If the earth was the size of a golf ball, that's enough golf balls to fill up an entire school bus. But this is just one of billions and billions of stars in the, you know, in the village of the cosmos that we're in called the Milky Way. I want to tell you about another star. This star, I think I had a picture of this guy. We didn't even talk about that. This one, it's called Betelgeuse in the Latin, or Betelgeuse, and I think obviously we're going to go with Betelgeuse for the purpose of our talk today. This is it in the night sky. It's 427 light years away. That's 427 times 5.88 trillion miles away from us. There she is. If Earth was the size of a golf ball, Betelgeuse would be the height of Vernal Falls in Yosemite National Park. 23 times. Okay, obviously that's not impressive enough. So what you're going to need to do is you're going to have to like plan a vacation. Like, you know, Pastor Mark, he might not even be here next week. So do it next week. Do it next week. Plan a vacation. Put everybody in the minivan. Drive to Yosemite. Go to the base of Vernal Nevada Falls. Hike up just to the base of it. You know, go down where you're not supposed to. You're like, you're going to pretend to feed the squirrels. But take your golf ball and put it right there at the edge. And then go back up onto the trail where you can kind of see the whole thing. See Vernal Falls. And then imagine 22 additional falls on top of that. And then try to find your golf ball. And you on it. It's crazy big. You know, this star is so big that if Earth was the size of a golf ball, you could fit 2.62 trillion Earths inside of the star. The numbers get wonky, don't they? It's enough golf balls to fill the New Orleans Superdome with golf balls, even the dome, 3,000 times. It's crazy. I mean, this isn't even the biggest star. I want to introduce you to another star. This one's called Musifi. And there it is in the night sky. It's obviously the one in the top left right there. I kind of show it like backed off a little bit so you can see all the other stars. You know, it isn't twinkle, twinkle little star necessarily. This star is massive. It's huge. It's ferocious. There it is. If Earth was the size of a golf ball, this star would be two Golden Gate Bridges end to end. Still nothing, huh? Not even in Asia. You're going to have to. I mean, this is another trip, you know, so maybe hopefully it's another week and you don't want to miss church twice. But you're going to have to plan a trip to the Golden Gate Bridge and go over there, put your golf ball down right at the beginning, go up into Oakland Heights, see the Golden Gate Bridge in your imagination, realize there's another Golden Gate Bridge, and then try to find your golf ball. What's my point? The God that created us for relationship, that loves us, that's the lover of our soul, breathe the stars. You can fit 2.6 quadrillion Earths in Musifi. You're like, if you're like me, you're like, what's a quadrillion? Now, I don't know. I understand 1,000, right? Everybody's kind of got your mind around 1,000. Well, you probably know this already, but 1,000 thousands is a million, 1,000 millions is a billion, and 1,000 billions is a trillion, and 1,000 trillions is a quadrillion. You probably understood that already. But here's a perspective that's crazy. So a million seconds ago, 12 days ago. Isn't that cool? Just dare you to try that on your calculator. A billion seconds ago, which I actually did use ChatGPT for, what do you think? How long ago? A month? Yeah, all the way back, probably into the spring sometime. And you'd be right. Of 1992. March 19. A trillion seconds ago. You're like, oh, I'm on to you now, man. This is like 1800s. 29,665 BC. A quadrillion seconds ago? 300 million, 800,000 years ago. Do you see how the numbers get wonky when we talk about exponentially? What's my point? Is that you can fit 2.6 trillion Earths, quadrillion Earths into that. What? But this isn't even the biggest star. So this star right here is called Canis Majoris. Now I'm not like a linguist really, but I think that means big dog star, which is kind of a cool name for the biggest star that we know so far, right? There's Canis Majoris in the night sky. It is 4,875 light years away. There she is. If Earth was the size of a golf ball, Canis Majoris, in proportion, would be as high as Mount Everest. Isn't that crazy? You could fit 7 quadrillion Earths inside of Canis Majoris. What's my point? My point is that the God who created us for love, that wants us to be intimate with Him, and it's okay to, I mean, in a sense, cuddle up with Jesus. That's good. That's pure. That's Christianity. We have the Holy Spirit. We're able to do that. But this God breathed Canis Majoris is an afterthought. Scripture just says, in the stars. I love it. I love it. So kind of back, and we're, I'll come to a close here. What do we do with that? That Jesus is lover of our soul, but He's also the righteous judge who created everything, including the stars. There's tension here. And I think on the pole, if we were to like make this a scale between, Jesus, lover of my soul, and Jesus, creator of Canis Majoris, I think Americans are predispositioned or conditioned to land somewhere over here. So just, this is my observation, or I'm just trying to talk about application now. Nowhere does it say that in Scripture, of course. But I think there's three reasons for that. Number one is that we're a very independent people, aren't we? I mean, America is extremely independent. Even if we like lived over in Boston, I mean, they did throw a bunch of tea into the ocean a long time ago. But East Coast is even probably less independent than those that chose to travel west, Oregon Trail, the whole nine yards. And that's kind of why we live in Amador County, right? We don't, you're not the boss to me kind of deal. We don't want a lot of hierarchy, a lot of supervision. We want to be left alone. We're for small government. We just have to make sure that in the process of being for small government, we're not also for small God. There's another reason I think that we're predisposed to really not recognize God as creator, and is because as Americans, and particularly I'd say as Californians, is that we're just super informal. That's not bad, it just is. We don't have big gestures of respect. We don't really use titles. I think they ask me, like, what do we put on the program, I think Josh is probably culturally appropriate. We think nothing for, a punk middle school in and out of juvie hall or whatever to address, your pastor's mark. That's just how we roll. And it's good, it's not bad. But I'm just saying is that it predisposes us to kind of operate on this side of the spectrum, rather than over here. Well, we want to be careful not to. I'm not saying we shouldn't treat God with informality, but we have to be careful not to treat Him with equality. Because He has invited us into relationship, but He's still God. And equality with Him is not something to be grasped even by Jesus. Well, He was a man, of course. another thing that I think that predisposes us to miss the boat a little bit in recognizing him as the breather of Canis Majoris is that over the last 70 years in America, we've really focused on, and this has been America's probably contribution to theology, but we focused on this idea of personal relationship, which is good. I praise God for it, that we, through the Holy Spirit, we're invited into that relationship. Let's just remember that. Let's just remember this as we interact with God. When's the last time that you, maybe you were driving or maybe you were in the shower or, you know, just kind of doing business and you cried out, God, help me? Has that been relatively recent? I know that was me like 7 times this week. And I think you too. You know, if we're honest, it's the kind of thing we actually would call a friend and say the same thing. Jay, help me. I've had a hard week. When is the last time, though, that you fell prostrate before the God of the universe? Like John did on the island of Patmos, like Paul did on the Damascus Road, like Ezra did in the temple, like Moses did on Mount Sinai. We can go on and on. Like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, where you've just fallen prostrate, maybe even trembling, not able to speak because you're in the presence of the breather of the stars. When is the last time that we fell to our knees like Daniel did as an example to us 3 times a day, honoring God as King, and cried out to him in that way? It's probably been a while, and there's a number of different ways you can apply this truth, these tensions to your life, but I'm just suggesting that one of those ways today could be approaching him in the posture of our actual body in a different way. I'm not saying we should have never, like, just cry. We should continue to cry out to God, you know, in the shower or driving, and just talk to him as a friend and a lover. But let's also have times in our lives where we fall on our face before the King and the Judge and the Master and the Creator of all the universe and just worship him in total awe, in total mystery, in total other thanness that he truly, truly is. I've asked Jonathan to lead us in the song, How Great Is Our God. I've invited us to take the opportunity to, whether you just pray where you are, or whether you stand and lift up holy hands in this position of submission, like was normative in the New Testament and like Paul told us to do. Or maybe we kneel at the altar or bow in the whatever it is. Maybe you totally ignore me and drink coffee. That's cool, too. Let's take an opportunity to respond to God is God. Amen. Jonathan. Our God.
great is our God. All will see how great is our God. How great is our God.
Father, we worship you. We bless you. We declare you are great. We declare you are so much greater than we conceive, than we can conceive with our minds or our logic or our imaginations. You are great. It's a statement, Lord, that's even understated relative to you breathe the stars. You are great. We praise you. We worship you. We give you our lives and our attention and our love and our obedience and our worship. Please this week as you bring through your Holy Spirit these verses to our minds, give us a fresh revelation of your immensity, of your magnitude, of your love for us and the love that you invite us into. Father, help us understand these things. We see them in the Word. We see them, but Lord, give us fresh revelation to comprehend the height and the breadth and the depth of the love of Christ. Yes. But in relation to Canis Majoris. Lord, we love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Josh.